Book of Proverbs.
The Proverbs in Hebrew, the very first, if you guys, let's turn to Proverbs 1:1. So I want to begin by looking at the title, okay? By the way, usually Hebrew scripture, the title is usually the first two letters or first word. Or not first two letters, first word and or first two words of the book, okay? So Proverbs 1:1, could I have a happy motivator read me Proverbs 1:1?
The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel.
Okay, so notice the first two words is what? The Proverbs, okay? In Hebrew, is the first beginning part is the Proverbs of Solomon, okay? Typically, the first, like I said, the first two words is where you get the word. And how we get the word Proverbs, even though in Hebrew, the word for proverb is... I think Hebrew is pretty funny. Like the Proverbs of Solomon, do you guys know what the name Solomon sounds like? In Hebrew? Like, Solomon sounds kind of cool, right? I think it sounds kind of cool, like, wow. In Hebrew, it's actually Shlomo, right? It's just kind of like, huh, that's kind of funny, okay? Melish is, I'm butchering the pronunciation. I know in class they always correct me about my E and my I sounding. But in Hebrew, why we get our English word Proverbs is actually because of the Latin Vulgate. The Latin translation of the Bible is Liber Proverbium, okay? That's where we get the word Proverbs. So, okay, so in terms of authors, there's some scholars. By the way, if you read some commentaries, sometimes you have more liberal ones, the ones that question God's word, that kind of thing. They would say that they'll put doubt that Solomon was wrote the majority of the book. Okay, I actually think the majority of Proverbs was written by Solomon. So later tonight, when we ask the quiz question. Who wrote Solomon, or wrote the majority of it? The answer would be?
Solomon.
Solomon, okay.
Solomon wrote something.
Or did he?
Or did he? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, if you write slow-mo, that counts too, okay? So looking at the book of Proverbs, we see an important section of the book that it was written by Solomon, okay? So there's different parts within the Bible that says it's written by Solomon, okay? Oops, sorry. I couldn't stand it. Okay. So there's different parts throughout the book that says it, okay? Proverbs 1:1, what Josh has just read earlier, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, okay? So that's very clear which Solomon. You might say which one? It's the son of David, okay? So he's the third king of Israel, okay? If you guys could turn also with me to Proverbs chapter 10, verses 1. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 1. If I could have a happy, motivated volunteer, read me Proverbs 10:1.
The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother.
Okay, so notice again, it's just like this same verse, verse 1, okay? The Proverbs of Solomon, okay? So this is the second time we see this is attributing authorship to Solomon, okay? Turn also as well with me to Proverbs 25, verse 1. Proverbs 25, verse 1. Proverbs 25, verse 1. Any happy, motivated volunteer want to read Proverbs 25, 1?
These also are Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, transcribed.
Okay, so here Proverbs 25, 1, mentioned again, these are Proverbs of Solomon, okay? Now, I think 25 verses 1 is pretty interesting. We'll come back to this later again because it mentioned the men of Hezekiah, okay? But for now, I think I think the best person we would say is not just only because it says it's Solomon, but I think he's also the likely one because of what we know about the characteristic of Solomon, okay? You guys remember God gave Solomon one wish? Anything he wanted that God would grant. Do you remember that? And then what did he ask God for? He could have asked for wisdom, okay? He could have asked for health, wealth, name it, claim it, whatever he gets, but then he asked for wisdom, okay? Turn with me real quick to 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 and 34. You can put a bookmark in Proverbs, and 1 Kings will be you head towards the left direction, okay? It probably doesn't help to say it's next to 2 Kings, okay? But it's between 2 Samuel and 2 Kings, okay? 1 Kings, or if you need to use the table content, that's fine too. 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 to 34. 1 Kings 4, 29 to 34. Okay? Yes. You have a point. A Okay, if I could have, let's have Ben, Noel read, actually, Jin, then Ben, Noel, Caleb, and then Vincent, or whenever stops. So, verses 29 to 34, 1 Kings chapter 4.
And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure and depth of mind, like the sand on the seashore.
Solomon's wisdom first came forth. The wisdom of all the kings of Egypt, and all the wisdom of Egypt.
For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, but as rest, as right, he meant how Paul can guard the sons of Nate Paul, and his king was not in the crowd.
He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs are 1,005.
He spoke of trees from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and of fish.
Hmm. Okay. Yes. 34.
Yeah. And men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon. From all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom.
Okay, very good. Okay, thank you, you guys, for reading that. By the way, I was glad that Aris thought it would be good for pharmacists to read that, right? Because all the medicine knowledge you study, you guys are probably used to pronouncing things that are just not common. Okay, thank you, Noel. So look at verses 29. God gave Solomon a lot of wisdom. It's stated plainly that God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind, right? Like the sand that is on the seashore, okay? And if you look at verses 30 to 31, you see his wisdom in comparison of others, okay? In comparison to others, verses 30, what Noel read, what Noel read, you'll see there's all these individuals' names. Now, we might not know them, but at least probably in this time, they were the sages of their ages, okay? So in verses 30... Yeah, that rhymed. Okay, verses 30, you see that it even states very clearly, his wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all men, the sons of the east, and wisdom of Egypt, okay? By the way, just remember this part. There's a comparison of that, even the wisdom of Egypt. Because sometimes, let's just say you're one day going to be teaching the youth at church on Proverbs, or you're going to read it, sometimes you'll pick up a commentary, they might be saying things like, especially older ones, like the old ones would usually say things like, you know what, Proverbs is actually a copycat of Egyptian wisdom literature. But if you actually read Egyptian wisdom literature, they almost look the same. There's a big difference is this. The Egyptian wisdom literature is focusing on many gods, okay? But the Bible is focused on only one god. But then there's some stylistic similarities when you look and compare and contrast. Now, I would not be surprised with this because Solomon's wisdom, right, there's a give and take. Now, he ended up marrying many what?
Women,
okay? And there's also a lot of people coming over to study wisdom also as well. So I think there is an Egyptian influence, although the Egyptian influence must also be filtered through scripture, okay? So especially as we go over later on, there's some parts of Proverbs that sounds like if you look at it, wow, it kind of is almost that same stylistic way of Egyptian, but we shouldn't be fully surprised. Even here you see that his wisdom surpasses that of the wisdom of Egypt, okay? So you see there is his wisdom is greater than all others, and his area of what he was an expert in is vast. Look at verses 33. He spoke of what? Trees, cedars, okay? In Lebanon, as you know, which is another country, right? So he talks about plants, okay? He talks about anything. Basically, he was a walking what? Encyclopedia, okay? Walking encyclopedia, okay? In verse 34, apparently his wisdom was recognized by others, right? It says, men from all people, came from all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth who had wisdom, who have heard of his wisdom, okay? By the way, there's even a famous one, a queen, right? The queen of?
Sheba,
okay? I think she was very likely probably in Saudi Arabia area, okay? So here we see his wisdom. And by the way, how many proverbs did he write? How many proverbs does he write? It's okay. Yeah. How many proverbs did he spoke of? 3,000, right? According to verse 32. And he had over how many songs?
1,000.
Yeah, 1,000. Okay, 1,005. Okay. So not only was he a walking encyclopedia, apparently he was what? Like the Beatles and all those roll into one. Okay. So basically he was, say again?
He's a hymnal.
Hymnals? Okay, yeah. But he might have rapped some of those church hymns, okay? and title it Slim Jim. But anyway, that's with this here. Here he has 1,000 songs, right? Okay, and 3,000 proverbs. So some of those, of course, we have saved in the book of Proverbs. Okay, so apparently this guy was we like to use the term Renaissance man, right? I think he's a Reformation man, okay? Because he has a high view of God's sovereignty, right? Proverbs 19, God directs the hearts of kings, that kind of thing. He was what? A gentleman, a scholar, and maybe a warrior, okay? With that, okay? So with all this, I think that makes it very likely he is, okay? Now, in Jewish oral tradition, they actually attribute this to Hezekiah, but I think the best way to explain it is in Proverbs 25:1, it says that Hezekiah's men transcribed some of it down. I actually think it's three collection in Song of Solomon. The beginning part, he wrote it. Then other parts is like, hey, there's all these other additional ones that they added in, okay? I think the best way to think of it is like, think of like musicians, right? They might release albums when they're alive, but do they sometimes re-release certain things that was never made it into previous albums, right? Right, like Tupac, right? Some people think, hey, is he still alive or is he dead, right? Because they just keep on releasing that kind of thing, okay? Or like the greatest hits or what do you call it? Unreleased, I don't know, of the Beatles or whatever, I don't know, an analogy, that kind of thing, okay? So, so in light of this, knowing all this, the authors, now we go through the part of purpose, okay? Purpose. According to Richard Mayhew, by the way, Richard Mayhew is one of my old professors. Proverbs sometimes can be pretty hard to read. If you guys read it, sometimes it's like hard. I remember a long time ago I taught the youth. I just told Andrew, I don't need any more. Let's save some money. Instead of using the church curriculum, ordering, teaching, I'm just going to go to the book of Proverbs. And I remember back then, I just began seminary, and Andrew said, are you sure you just want to go through Proverbs? It's not as easy to teach as you think in terms of outlining and organizing it, right? But I actually think sometimes the best thing to do, even as you read it, this is what I do in my own life too. Sometimes I'll just read through Proverbs for different thing. I'm looking for a different thing. I want to write, as I look at each chapter, I want to write down what is it that's relevant for human relationship, or what is it with marriage, or what is it in terms of anger, okay? Then I save it, inventory, index it, whatever else, then I'll use it later on. And sometimes when I'm busy, let's just say, boom, a couple's meeting where, man, I'm so swamped, then we're like, boom, let's go through this topically, looking at that. So I encourage you guys to do the same. But if you wanted to have instant Proverbs Bible study topically, Richard Mayhew actually wrote a book. So if you go to Amazon, I'm not selling anything, I don't get no commissions, but he actually has it arranged topically by chapters, like what is all the verses on society, what about on individual emotions, that kind of thing, okay? So he says the purpose of Proverbs is divine perspective, how to handle life issues, okay? Of how to handle life issues is what he would say is a purpose, okay? Mark Rucker, which is actually a lot of my outline is based upon, he says the instructional manual to lead people in righteous living before God, okay? So it's about how to live rightly, okay? That's what he would say. Andrew Hill is another scholar, saying the purpose of the book is collect wisdom, okay? I would actually say if you want to write down one word for tonight, what the book of Proverbs is about, it begins with W. What is that?
Wisdom,
okay? You guys know the difference between wisdom and knowledge according to Scripture? In terms of word usage, knowledge is knowing facts. Okay. By the way, just because you know a lot of facts about those world, does that necessarily mean you are wise? So wisdom is actually the skillful application of truth. Okay. So I think this day and age, I think maybe an example we can understand is Google could have a lot of data. Yes.
Yes.
But that does not necessarily mean it is wise. Okay. Siri maybe is a good example. Okay. Could Siri give you a lot of data? Yes, oh, yeah. But could it gives you a lot of wisdom sometime?
No.
Not necessarily. Have you guys ever been to, go to Siri and say, mirror, mirror on the wall, and ask who's a... Yeah, don't want to take advice from that, okay? Yeah, I know, I had it with my dog just to play, okay? Yes, okay. But that's an example, okay? It could give you a lot of facts, but not necessarily wisdom, the right application of that. Does that make sense? With that. So... more important than what all these scholars say, I think the important thing is, do we know from the book of Proverbs itself what the purpose is? I would say yes. The first 7 verses is actually introduction to the book. Okay, let's turn with me real quick to Proverbs 1:1 to 7, okay? Proverbs 1 is just the subscript, just giving you the bibliographical information, but verses 2 to 7, I think, is really states the book's purpose. So just for tonight's to keep it shorter, could I have Anthony, beginning with Anthony and clockwise direction, let's read verses 2 to 7, okay? Verses 2 to 7.
To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding.
Okay.
Josh. To receive instruction is in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity.
To give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion.
Let the wise man listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get
to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and the riddles.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fool despises wisdom and instruction. Okay, I think you see the purpose of the book stated with five verbs in the Hebrew. What is called infinitive? Really, a verbs of purpose. Okay, these are the five verbs that's mentioned. I think that shows the purpose of the book. If you're following along with the outline, the first one is to know. Okay, that's in verses 2. Also, is to discern things. Okay, to receive specifically is in verses 3 is to receive instruction. And wise behavior, okay? And then fourth purpose is to give what? Is to give us things. The three things listed in verses 4 gives us is prudence, knowledge, and discretion, okay? And also, ultimately, is to understand. Now, the book of Proverbs, is it for what age level? You guys ever look at... go ahead.
Every age.
At every age, okay? You guys ever look at, like, toys, like, boxes? They say sometimes, like, ages 3 and up. Or sometimes 3 to 5, okay? I like those box toys that says, like board games especially, like ages 7 to 99 plus. You guys ever seen things like that? Okay. But here in Scripture, you might say, okay, you're wise. I don't need a book of Proverbs. Is that really true? I would say no. If you look, I love how it captures a range of ages, okay? Verses 4, notice it says, to give prudence to the naive, okay? So for those who are naive, is this a good book to read?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. To those who are young, in verses 4, is that a good book to read? Okay. How do you know you're young? Is you are under 65, okay? Unless you guys here are taking senior discount on Denny's, then that's all of us, okay? So.
I think senior discount starts at 55.
Hey, you're getting kind of close. 40 is kind of close for me now. 40 is
really young.
40 is young. Okay.
Anyone younger than your grandma?
40s is the new 30s. Okay, not 20s. 20 is too young, young buck. Okay, but let's go back on. Okay, with this, if you look at, and then also for the wise, look at verse 5. Even the wise man, will he continue to learn? Okay. By the way, I think that's a symptom of someone that's wise is that you also learn from others. Does that make sense? And you learn from their wisdom and the foolishness of others. Okay. That's, I think, one of the things you need to realize is our human experience, our life is too short to experience everything, okay? So sometimes you have to learn from what? Others, okay? This is why it's important to all, I think this is why books are important. Good books are important, okay? Actually, if you, one of the things I really like sometimes looking at interviews, especially good interviews, is when they ask people that are successful what books they read. And sometimes you'll be amazed, right? What books that people are reading, it's like, wow, it shows that these guys are not just about themselves, that they're smart, okay? Don't be the guy that says, oh, I want to one day write a book, and you're going to write more pages than you ever read, okay? That's folly. You're probably not going to sell. But I think part of it is life is just read, okay? Read a lot. One of the things I actually like with those rare interviews with the Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, before, is one of the parts, yeah, I love hearing his political views and everything else and his outlook militarily, but one of the things I really love is actually ask, hey, what books, especially journals when they ask, what book, because he's famous for reading, like, what books are you reading? And some of the books he's mentioned, said, yes, well, I actually am reading that book on world geography. Wow, I'm so glad he mentioned that, okay? So things like that, okay? Or things like, wow, I've never heard of that book before. I want to look that up, okay? So wise people are always learning from others, okay? Wise people are always learning still from others, okay? So read the book of Proverbs, okay? Yet in all this, we must not miss the relationship to God. It's not just wisdom itself, because look at verses 7. It's all God-centered, okay? Notice the beginning of verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. Some of your versions say wisdom. Okay, I would translate it as wisdom, actually. Okay, I think that word used, it could go either way, knowledge or wisdom. Okay, sometimes some of those words bleed into each other. Thus, Proverbs is about living wisely in light of God's light of God, and wisdom begins with understanding and honoring God, okay? I think wisdom really began with honoring God, okay? I think back when I would actually say when I was young, before I became a Christian, I was a fool. I was always getting in trouble. Then when I got kicked out of high school, I had nothing to do, so I started reading the Bible at 15. Then the Bible started scaring me. Then I just thought, oh, I'll just read in the middle. And then James and Proverbs leaped out at me about wisdom, because I realized I was not wise. And I was like, Lord God, give me wisdom. I remember those times writing those prayers, asking God continuously. And I think this is so true. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, okay? If you fear God, that is, but this is a respectful fear, okay? You want to care more about God's opinion more than that. You ever love somebody so much you're afraid of them thinking wrongly of you? You guys ever have that? That's that kind of, now there's a wrong kind, it might be too much, where it's fear of man. But that loving, reverential fear, okay? Yeah. Now I love my dad. Now, I think I'm at this point where I might be a little physically more stronger than my dad, but I still fear him and his view, right, with that. So that reverential fear, the same way with God, that loving relationship fear. If you care more about what God thinks than others think, that's the beginning of wisdom. Then Proverbs, when you read it, it's like, okay, you want to get it for wisdom, okay? By the way, I encourage you guys to read Proverbs more than fortune cookies, okay? We live in a day and age where people want fortune cookie theology. Maybe you might laugh, oh, I don't eat those fortune cookies that Jimmy called predestination Calvinistic cookies at church. But we do this all the time. We look at Instagram. We look at Twitter. We look at, what did you say? Facebook, that kind of thing, right? Memes. So be careful of memeology, okay, that replaces theology. Okay? I'm not saying there's not a place for solid things, you know, like, oh yeah, if you go to monergism.com, you know, monergism, Facebook, you know, that kind of thing, there's some solid ones. But at the same time, be very careful to make sure you go by the Word of God first. Because I'm always amazed, I'm always, actually for me, if you, I'm sometimes sad just seeing people share things that are not fully biblical, that ends up causing more problems. You ever hear, I think one of the crazy ones is like, if you want the best of me, you need to also bear with the worst of me. Right? Like that, to me, is like crazy. Why does it have to be either or, right? Why can't it also be like, hey, we're growing too with that? I mean, there's some truth, but there's also sometimes like, if you're going as a hard rule, that could be crazy. Not focusing on growth, right? And change and sanctification, okay? Let's go to structure right now. How many chapters does Proverbs have?
31 chapters.
31 chapters. Very good, okay? So if you want free dinner tonight, you know now to write 31, okay? By the way, it's good too, because most months have how many days? Okay, most months have how many days?
30 or 31.
Yeah, 30 or 31, and sometimes 28, and sometimes 29, okay? So in light of this, you can read one Proverbs a day, okay? One Proverbs a day keeps a little bit of folly away, okay? So that's 31 chapters, but the way to outline it, I'm going to go over different ways. I think the easiest is Dr. Mayhew's outline. I think he makes it the most Barney style of them all, okay? So if you want to go Sesame Street style, this is it, okay? Proverbs of Solomon, chapter 1 to 29, okay? Chapter 1 to 29 is all by Solomon. And then Agar, or Argur, I don't know how to pronounce the name. How do you pronounce the name, Nancy?
I wrote down a different name.
Okay, good. Or it's okay.
No, I think it's the wrong name.
Oh, yeah.
For Asaph, I think that's
okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, is that okay? By the way, if you write tonight a guy, that doesn't count, okay, as Agar, okay? Mm-hmm. So Agar is chapter 30, okay? And then Lemuel is chapter 31, okay? Mm-hmm. Lemuel 31. I think that's maybe the easiest way by author because it's just three, okay? But then it might not be as relevant as, like, oh, well, okay, Arthur, but what else? I think another way of outlining is by its kind. There's different kinds of proverbs, okay? Some proverbs are making comparison kind of things. So I think you can see there's a discourse, there's speaking discourse. That is, if you look at Proverbs 1 to 9, Solomon says a lot, my son, right? My son. He's speaking to somebody. He's speaking to his sons to obey, actually, okay? That's in Proverbs 1 to 9, okay? And then there's also two lines, antithetical. If you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10, maybe we'll look at some example. The second section, another way of outlining is what kind of writing literature it is, okay? Antithetical. Let's look, for instance, in Proverbs 10. 10. Verses 9. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. So first line is stating one thing, and then second line is saying the opposite. Okay, in light of the opposite, let's evaluate the opposite also as well, okay? So there's a lot of antithetical statement, okay? A lot of that in Proverbs 10 to 15. Then there's a lot of parallel statement, a synthetic statement. There's supporting idea. One is general, and then the second is more detailed in verses 16 to 22, okay? Then there's a lot of four-line ones in 22 to 24. I know I'm giving probably a lot of data right now, data dumping. But then as you go on more, there's even more complex ones, right? More complex thing, especially the ones where the three things that God hates kind of thing, and fourth, that kind of couplets thing, okay? But let's go on now. And by the way, Proverbs 31 is actually acoustic, okay? Proverbs 31, we don't see it in the Hebrew because Proverbs 31 is famous for what? The character of a godly wife, okay? We could kind of miss that because it's just in English, but it's actually, he's doing it, Lemuel is writing it according to what? The Hebrew alphabet. Okay, which is Aleph, Beth. I always mess that up in Hebrew class and seminary. I always start speaking in tongues, like Greek alphabet instead, and Hebrew, I mean Arabic words instead, or Arabic letter, okay? So that's the poetry, or the, another way I think is sevenfold, is by every time it kind of begins almost like a title heading, okay? If we do it by that, which I think is actually the better way of dividing, because that's what the text is actually saying, you see each one with introduction with that, okay? So because of the sake of time, we're going to go to key passages, okay, for tonight. I'm not going to finish the whole outline. This outline's a little more detailed than before because this is going to go eventually overseas, and I'm not completed with it overseas to teach, okay? But also key passages, okay? Let's look at some passages that this is probably the more well-known verses from there. Turn with me to Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. Could I have a happy, motivated reader read me Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6? Actually, Nancy, would you be...
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding.
Okay. Very good. Okay. When I was in... and then verses 6 as well.
In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight.
Yeah. Sometimes when I read this verse, I think of when I was in the Marines boot camp. One of my senior drill instructors was actually a preacher's kid. And he looked like Vin Diesel, okay? He sounds like he's like this Puerto Rican guy, and he's always telling me, "Hey, preacher Rev," because he knew I wanted to be a preacher one day. And he always say, "You're going to be a manly pastor, right?" And I was like, "Oh, yes, sir." And then he's like, "My dad's a manly pastor." And this guy was just crazy. So I remember one night we got in trouble a lot. But one thing I respected from him is every night he always made sure we were allowed to pray. So I got 1 hour that's church service, like 15 minutes to pray. So even though he would punish us, he always say, "Ah, stop. Hey, lay reader, start preaching," you know, and then, so he'll do this. So I remember one night we're in the middle of like all these punishment, he made us dump everything, right? And then I read this verse, and then afterward he quote this verse, the same verse that says, "Hey, lean on your own understanding, you understand that, but lean on mine." And I think even the atheists in our platoon was all grieved, like, "Hey, that's verse abuse. That's talking about God, not the drone instructor," okay? But there's truth in there, okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding, okay? Acknowledge Him. He'll make your way straight, okay? Then in verses 5, chapter 5, verses 15 to 23. If you guys could turn over there. Proverbs 5, verses 15 to 23. This is the passage is famous for talking about, because we have little ears, physical intimacy, right? It's a father's word, okay? If I could just read 15. It says, "Drink from your own cistern, and fresh water from your own well. Should your spring be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets. Let yours be alone, and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving hind and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love," and on it goes, okay? But you get the idea. There's a father's telling a young man to say, "Hey, don't sow your seeds everywhere, okay? But rather to be, what, monogamous, to be with your spouse, to be with your wife," okay? So I think this is important. By the way, I love this part, especially in verses 21. It appeals even to the attribute of God. It doesn't just say it's a blessing, but say, "Hey, God sees all." This is one of the reasons why you want to be pure with this, okay? So this is famous. And then chapter 6, verses 16 to 19, this is famous for the seven things the Lord hates, okay? chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. So I could catch my breath, could I have a volunteer read me those? Actually, Nancy, could you read those 16 to 19?
These 16 Lord hates, a seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked things, feet that are swift and running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren.
Yeah, so this is a verse, okay? I usually like using this verse sometimes when I evangelize, when people come up to me and say, you guys are a religion of hate. And I say, you're right. The Bible says the Lord hates. But then I tell them, you know what? But as a Christian, I have to hate my own sin before I hate yours, okay? So I need to change and hate my own sin, okay, more than that. But there's a sense where when we love something, we do hate something, okay? So now, of course, I know, let me be clarified. Hate does not, Christianity is not a religion of hate in a sense like we go ahead and, like, throw rocks at people and that kind of thing and stone, you know, that, okay? It's, isn't like, there's a place for, that this is saying this is wrong. That's what I mean by that, okay? Proverbs, for sake of time, let's go to Proverbs 19, verse 17. Proverbs 19, verse 17. Eric, would you be able to read that for me?
Faithless to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed.
Yeah, you want to have good heavenly dividends, and sometimes even things right now is, hey, be kind to the poor, okay? I believe the Lord, that passage is so true. Anyways, no more story time. Let's go on to Proverbs 22, verse 6. Actually, Rebecca, would you be able to read Proverbs 22, verse 6? Rebecca?
Wait.
Okay. You want to just read this real quick? Sorry.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Yeah, so this is another verse, right? The importance of that, right? Like, of teaching our kids, you know. Do I like teaching my... Actually, I've discovered that. I used to think I loved teaching the Bible. Then I thought I just like history. Then I discovered now with homeschooling our kids, I like every subject. You know, whether it's planets or grass or plants or whatever. It's just amazing. God's planet. Everything that God's created, right? Economics or whatever else. I realized, like, wow, I actually really like tutoring people, right? When Phil is with his math thing, it's like, wow, this is pretty cool how everything, you know, with algebra, whatever, it's just, the world is just so beautiful, so amazing, okay? And realize, but all these things, don't ever forget to teach the Lord also as well, behind all that, okay? So another one is Proverbs 25, verses 21 to 22. Proverbs 25, verses 21 to 22. Any volunteer want to read that verse, these two verses?
21 to 22.
Yes.
For you help burning coals on the fish, and the Lord will reward you.
Yes. Okay.
The north wind brings forth rain and backbiting tongue and angry countenance. It is better to live in the corner of the roof in the house shared by a contentious woman.
Yeah, okay. So is that Proverbs 25, verse 21 to...
He went 22 to 23.
Okay, 21.
If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink.
Okay, yeah. So when you read this verse, does this remind you of anyone's teaching?
Jesus,
right? By the way, did Jesus... Well, that's a trick question. I was going to say, which came first, Jesus or Proverbs? But we know, of course, Jesus is God, right? Who later became man. But I think by the way, Jesus is wisdom. Yes? Wisdom, another word for that is logos, also as well, okay? Or the word. There's a sense where that word bleed, and he embodies that, okay? So when Jesus comes over and he says, you have heard it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, right? Turn the other cheek, all of this, right? And bless your enemies, all these things, right? He's the epitome of all of that, okay? He lived it out. You guys, Jesus lived out Proverbs? Sometimes we only think of the law, but we don't think of the wisdom, okay? Because sometimes we think, oh, well, you know, Jesus' principle is nice morally, but it's not that wise. But Jesus lived it out with true wisdom that comes from heaven too, okay? Proverbs 27, verse 17. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Could I have someone read 27, verse 17?
Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another.
This is why I love this verse, right? This is talking about fellowship, right? That when you meet with others, we need each other. Yes? Okay? I need you guys, right? As a pastor. My fear, you know what's my biggest fear as a pastor? There's many big fears. But one of the other fears is also that I become so absorbed that the ministry is about me. When it's really all of us. When every one of you guys contributed with that, right? This is why I need Victor to be there. Because he tells me things. It's like sometimes, like, I think this is a good idea. I was like, no. Right? This is why we need each other. Now, gently and respectfully, obviously, too. This is why we need each other, okay? I'm so glad there's been times servant meetings where I think I had such a wonderful idea. And then someone else contributed. It's like, wow, now we made things even better, okay? So we need iron sharpening iron, okay? But is it always easy? No, okay? But we need each other, okay? We need each other. This is why I really do like servant meeting, because when we do things together, when it's focusing on the Lord, what we hear to improve on is what we need. Just sharpen each other, okay? So that whatever we do could be much more better also as well, okay? So in light of all this, because of the sake of time, we will stop here, okay? We will stop here for tonight. There's a whole bunch of things, but these are going to be things I'll be probably going over in details overseas on my teaching. But any